Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we're talking to you about what God is talking to us about. On June 29th, 2008, the Lord visited us at our afternoon prayer meeting. We were praying concerning the then upcoming election. We were praying for America. We were praying for Israel, praying for the nations, and God interrupted us with a strong word from the Lord that came upon me. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the world. It is an awakening to God. Thoughts went through my mind. One of them was the best person in the world could be elected president, and it wouldn't help if we Americans didn't awaken to God. And so I heard other things. I heard American history. I heard the Great Awakening. I heard prayer and an awakening. And so I studied all of those things. And we saw that the United States of America was literally born out of the Great Awakening. God used the preaching of George Whitefield primarily to unite the 13 colonies and to believe for freedom, and they revolted. And so we were born out of a Great Awakening. As I've studied these awakenings, I see that we were literally preserved out of an awakening that started in 1857 and went through 1859 and on over into the Civil War time. And so we're talking about that very awakening right now and how it began. It began with a prayer meeting, September 23rd, 1857. There was an old church, pre-Revolutionary Day War church, old Dutch church, built by Dutch settlers in America, families, and it stood where the Twin Towers stood. It was called the Fulton Street Church. Now, pre-Revolutionary War days, that's in the 1700s. Now we're down to 1857. The church is still standing. But the neighborhood changed. It changed to be business people, and it became the financial center of New York City. The people who attended church went to zero, practically. But the board still met, and they knew there were a lot of people living around there. They were different than the neighbors that used to be there. So they hired a man, Jeremiah Lanpier, a businessman, to knock on doors, go to shops, invite people to church. He did it from dawn till dark every day, and he grew weary in his tasks. But he would go at noon back to the church, and there he would pray. And in that hour of prayer, he so renewed his strength. God visited him so he thought, oh my, this would be good for the people, the businessmen. So he announced in 1857 that they would begin a prayer meeting at noon. He, for the first 30 minutes, prayed alone. Then he heard footsteps. Six people came. The next week, Wednesday, noon at prayer, 20 came. The next week, 40 came. Pastors from around the city began coming. And in 1 month, there were 150 prayer meetings over New York City with the presence of God there. I'm reading to you now from Wesley Duell's book, Revival Fire, which you can get from us. I'll tell you how at the end of the meeting. They prayed, speaking of the prayer meeting, expected answers and obtained answers. Newspapers began to report on the meetings and the unusual spirit of prayer. By March 19, a theater opened for prayer, and half an hour before it was time to begin, people were turned away. Hundreds stood outside in the streets because they could not get inside. Meetings began in February in Philadelphia. Soon, Jane's Hall was overfilled, and meetings were held at noon each day in public halls, concert halls, fire stations, houses, and tents. The whole city exuded a spirit of prayer. Almost simultaneously, noon prayer meetings sprang up all across America, in most of the major cities and in rural areas. By the end of the fourth month, prayer fervor burned intensely across the nation. This was not a revival of powerful preaching. This was a movement of earnest, powerful, prevailing prayer. In some towns, nearly the entire population was saved. A spirit of prayer occupied the land as though the church had suddenly discovered its real power. The Presbyterian magazine reported as of May, 50,000 converts. In February, a New York Methodist magazine reported 8,000 conversions in Methodist meetings in 1 week. The Louisville Daily Paper reported 17,000 Baptist conversions in 3 weeks during March. And according to a June statement, the conversion figures stood at 96,216 and still counting. The Washington National Intelligence reported that in several New England towns, not a single unconverted person could be found. Of the 30 million people living in the United States, nearly 2 million were won to Christ during the revival. The moral change was so great across the country that the Louisville, Kentucky daily paper reported that the millennium had arrived. This was called the Fourth Great Awakening, and above all, it was a revival of unity. Denominational backgrounds were forgotten. The invisible cloud of God's presence, a canopy of holy and awesome revival influence. In reality, the presence of the Holy Spirit seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the U.S., especially over the eastern seaboard. At times, this cloud of God's presence even seemed to extend out to sea. Those on ships approaching the East Coast at times felt a solemn, holy influence 100 miles away without even knowing what was happening in America. Revival began aboard one ship before it reached the coast. People on board began to feel the presence of God and a sense of their own sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them, and they began to pray. As the ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, "Send a minister." Because of the bitter tensions of the Civil War, it seemed that the southern states would not be as powerfully influenced by the revival as the northern ones. An unusually powerful revival broke out among the southern troops stationed around Richmond, Virginia, in the autumn of 1861. It began in the hospitals among the wounded and then spread into the camps as these men returned to active duty. Prayer meetings were organized and hundreds converted. By the end of the war, at least 150,000 soldiers had been converted. The percentage among the southern troops was 21%. America was born out of an awakening. It was preserved in an awakening, and it can happen again. Now, there was a simultaneous awakening in Ireland. Now, I was reading in this little book, the New York City Noon Prayer Meetings that Pastor Ann handed me down at the Copeland's Convention, because she and Dan have pastored in the New York City area. They began their church right where the Twin Towers were, and they pastored in that area for years and had noontime prayer meetings. She handed me this little book by Talbot W. Chambers, and it was written during the first year of those noontime prayer meetings, and he chronicles what happened. He tells about Jeremiah Lampier and how it began. Now, I was reading through this the other day, and this shocked me. During the closing months of the year 1857, this was slow but sure. The general interruption of business in consequence of the financial disasters of the season gave to many an opportunity of regularly attending the noon meeting, of which a more prosperous season would perhaps have deprived them. It can scarcely be doubted that the main cause of the general popularity of the meeting was the gracious purpose of the Lord making use in his adorable sovereignty of this means to alleviate the gloom of temporal calamities and lead the minds of the children of men to higher ends than, quote, the meat that perishes. In no other way can we account for the eagerness with which multitudes of men would flock together at an unusual and to most inconvenient hour. I said, what? Financial disaster? Calamities? Gloom? So I went online, you know, the internet, and I typed in 1857 financial disaster. And I found that this prayer meeting was born in the midst of a financial disaster in the United States of America. One book I saw online was called Panic on Wall Street. And Shelley's going to read you what I read in that book.
The free banking system had to have its trials before proving itself worthy. One of its severest tests came in 1857, when the so-called Western Blizzard, as the panic of that day was called, hit the banks of the East. There had been a war with Mexico, while it was not followed by the customary boom, did boost business. The discovery of gold in California in 1858, with the subsequent adding to the gold supply of the country, profoundly affected the economic development of the nation. Everything seemed prosperous, and speculation against lifted its head. True, there was a warning given by several failures in 1859 of prominent banks, including one in Buffalo. But another boom had been born, and by 1856 had reached unusual limits. In the early months of 1857, the nation had every appearance of extraordinary prosperity. Then came an unexpected slacking of pace. Credit had again been stretched too far. Supposedly strong banks in the West failed, and immediate demands were made upon the financial resources of New York, more particularly of the city. Several of the failures had been due to embezzlement and stock gambling. The populace lost faith in all banks and raided them for their deposits. In September, many of the large banks in the country suspended. New York tried to breast the wave. The Bowery Bank went under first, and runs were started on other city institutions. On October 13th, 1957,
1857.
$4,500,000 above 9% of the total deposits in coin were withdrawn from metropolitan banks. And that evening, it was decided to suspend specie payments. It is said that with the exception of the Chemical Bank of New York and a few others, all the banks in the country stopped payment.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, absolutely.
Banks going under. Now, other things, and we'll read
due
you more.
Due to embezzlement.
Yeah, and, embezzlement.
And stock gambling. And
stock gambling.
And people losing faith.
Does that sound like what we've heard recently?
Yeah.
Banks failed. Now, also, and we'll talk more about it, the railroads failed. Mm. It was crisis in America when Jeremiah Lanpier began that prayer meeting that we've read about in this book here, but somehow I didn't get it before, mm-hmm. that it was the midst of a financial crisis. And they prayed and got an awakening. We are in the midst of a financial crisis, and we can pray and get an awakening. We are praying every day at every Wednesday at noon. Go on billybrim.org, BILLYEBRIM.ORG. We are... people from all over the world are joining into us. I forget how many countries already have logged on. We're going to have an awakening in America. We qualify. We've got faith, we've got focus, and a financial crisis. This is Billy Brim, and you just phone us at 1-800-972-3447. We'll tell you how to get the book, The New York City Noon Prayer Meeting, the book, Ireland's Lost Heritage, the autobiography also of George Mueller. We invite you to come and be with us in Osage Beach, Missouri, where we begin March 16 with an Awakening America Rally with Pastor Larry Ollison and Loretta. We're also having here in Branson, starting in April, we're going to look at the Book of Daniel in the light of what's happening today. Right here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, we invite you to come and be with us. Remember, that's Billy Brim. .org or 1-800-972-3447. Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.